Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Yeah, I thought we just had one pet at home, Grizzly. I've shared with you about Grizzly. I thought we inherited a barking seal this week, but it was Lucy with bronchitis in the back room, and she's got this bark of a cough that sounds like a seal. I'm like, oh no, the barking seal is back. And so, man, if you've been dealing with sickness, if you've been dealing with stuff, so have we. We're right there with you, and I pray that that the Lord would heal, and I pray that the Lord would keep those of you who have not yet succumbed to the flu. Let me give you some pastoral advice, okay? Lots of hand sanitizer and fist bumps, okay? When I'm coming at you, I'm not coming at you to clock you. I'm coming at you just to give you a fist bump, okay? So from now on, I'm decreeing from this moment until Palm Sunday, if you come at me with an open hand, I'm coming at you with a fist bump, okay? So this is fist bump, and if you want to get really, you can even do the elbow thing, okay? Glad that you're here. Really glad you're here. Why don't you take your Bible and open it to Matthew chapter 5. We've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous recorded sermon from the lips of Jesus that we have in the Bible. Matthew chapter 5 is going to be on page 810 if you are using the Bible in the row in front of you. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning. I'll make sure you have a Bible to take with you. So open to Matthew chapter 5 or turn on your Bible to Matthew chapter 5 and we'll keep walking through this Sermon on the Mount. This is where it's believed that Jesus actually spoke these words, preached these words. We have that next slide back there. Yeah, there it is right there. So if you've been walking with us the last couple of weeks, I've shown you this slide just to kind of orient yourself. Snapped this picture when I was in the Holy Land with Allison a couple of years ago, and it's looking out over the Sea of Galilee, and there's a little banana crop down there at the bottom of the hill now. But this is the place where it's believed that Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. The most famous sermon that he ever preached. 107 verses, if you were to count them all in the Bible. And this particular part in the Bible that we're looking at over these next several weeks is the longest continuous section that we have where Jesus is speaking to the crowd, speaking to the people who were with him. And in this Sermon on the Mount that spans Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, we just see the central tenets of Christian discipleship. If you just were to read through those 107 verses here at Arapahoe Road, one of the descriptors of what it looks like to be people who are living in community and on mission that we talk about each week, or we try to talk about each week, are people who not only, and we have this little slide, you can say it with me, follow Jesus, love your neighbor, bless the city, and what's that last one, say it with me? Make disciples. Make disciples. I mean, if you want to know what a disciple of Jesus looks like, just read what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, and you'll begin to see word pictures and a word picture of what a disciple, what a follower of Jesus is meant to be. And what we're going to look closely at today are the words that Jesus spoke from verses 17 through 20. And what he's going to emphasize today is the importance of the Word of God, the Bible. And how important that was to Jesus and is important to Jesus, and about this mission that Jesus came from heaven to earth to accomplish. We're going to see that every single word in the Bible deeply matters to Jesus. Every last word in the Scriptures and what it said and what it means is a really, really big deal to Jesus. Today, I want to talk with you about The big deal of dotting the I's and crossing all the T's. Jesus talks about this in our text today. And as I was preparing for this message, I really began to think about my mom. I've shared this with you before. If you're visiting with us or new, my mom was a high school English teacher for 24 years before she retired. She taught freshman English. And so let me just tell you, grammar mattered to my mom. No, strike that. Proper grammar mattered to my mom and still does matter to my mom. And she just invested a good chunk of her adult life teaching 15-year-olds how to write and how to speak proper English. My mom was the epitome of helping teenagers figure out how to dot all their I's and cross all their T's in a correct manner, in an appropriate manner. And I just tell you, I am my mother's son. She passed all those grammar rules and all the punctuation protocols down to me. I'm kind of cursed with it. I can't read a book. I can't read an article. I mean, it's really bad if I've got my red pen in my mind out when I'm reading emails or texts. I'm just like, oh my goodness, this is just awful. This is awful. Where are the editors in the world? Come on. How did that go to print? Are you kidding me? Give me a break. And I know that we live in the emoji and shorthand text world, and I'm into that too, but man, there's just something that makes my heart beat fast and kind of get a little bit flushed when I'm sitting there reading a book that, especially if I paid money for it, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Look at this split infinitive here. Come on. Give me a break. Golly. I just can't help it. I've grown up in the house of a proper English teacher. And so when I read Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, I'm reminded that Jesus was big on making sure that all the I's got dotted and all the T's got crossed too. So let's read this section of the Sermon on the Mount. Let's see what Jesus had to say. It's Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. It says this, Jesus is talking and he says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's walk back together through these words that Jesus spoke, and let me help you, let me help me begin to see why I really believe Jesus was big on dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. Look back in verse 17 what Jesus says. He says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but what? To fulfill them. Well, what's Jesus talking about here when he says the law and the prophets? Well, when Jesus says the law and the prophets, what Jesus is referring to is the Old Testament. That's what Jesus refers to when he calls it the law and the prophets. In Jesus' day, the Old Testament, actually the Bible in Jesus' day, was known as the Old Testament. The Old Testament was known as the law and the prophets. And did you notice how Jesus starts off in this verse? He starts off with a warning. Look at the phrase he says there. He says, hey, do not think. Do not think. Do you see it there in verse 17? Do not think. Well, just stay curious as you're reading God's Word. Why would he say, do not think? Well, it must be because there were some people who were thinking this way, who were thinking one way, and Jesus is going, hey, don't think that way. Think this way. So something was wrong in the way people were thinking. See, many, if not most of the people who had been listening to Jesus teach must have had the wrong idea, the wrong conception. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have warned them this way. Do not think. See, many of Jesus' opponents, they began to see him as a destructive revolutionist who wanted to break away from every tie of the Jewish people's past. Everything that the Jewish people had been holding on to for centuries. There were some who thought Jesus was wanting to get rid of all that, wanting to distance from all of that, and want to start a whole new thing, a whole new way. And apparently, many of the people in Jesus' day were thinking that Jesus was coming to set aside or to actually abolish the Old Testament, the law, and the prophets. Thought he wanted to just get rid of it. That word abolish literally means to tear down and destroy. And that's what Jesus was hearing and knew that some who were listening to him were thinking when it came to the Old Testament. He's going, hey, do not think that I came to abolish, to tear down, to destroy, to distance from, and totally do something new. Jesus says, no, don't think like that. If you're thinking that way, that's wrong thinking. That's wrong thinking. I didn't come down to tear down the Old Testament. I didn't come to tear down history, to tear down the people of God. No, I came to step into it and fulfill it. That's why I came. That's why I'm here. I love what biblical scholar John MacArthur says. If you have a Bible, before we see this quote and really read it together, if you've got like a not an online Bible, here's where if you've got a real Bible, you can see what he's saying here. Just turn back to the left, just a couple of pages. That's where the end of the Old Testament is. Malachi. Put your finger there on Malachi, and then go to the very front of the Bible. The very first page of the Bible is Genesis. So Genesis and Malachi bookend the Old Testament. Look what John MacArthur says about the Old Testament. He says, from Genesis 1:1 through Malachi 4:6, the Old Testament is Jesus Christ. It was inspired by Christ, it points to Christ, and it is fulfilled by Christ. What does that mean? That means that everything that Jesus taught directly in his own ministry, or everything that was taught through his apostles, is based on that part of the Bible, the law and the prophets. And Jesus is saying, I didn't come to tear that out and just give you a New Testament. This points to the new. I came to fulfill it. You see, it's impossible to understand and fully accept the New Testament apart from the Old Testament. It reminds me of one of my favorite books that Allison and I used to read to Jack and to Lucy. It's called The Jesus Storybook Bible. And I love the tagline to the title. It says, every story whispers his name. Every story whispers his name. If you don't have this book, I encourage you to pick it up. You're going, I don't have kids, or my kids are grown. I still encourage you to pick it up and read through it. Why? Because every story whispers the name of Jesus. I love how this little children's version of the Bible helps point people from the Old Testament to the fulfillment of Jesus in the New Testament. This little book helps both adults and children alike see Matthew 5:17 that we were just reading about and see it in action. It shows how Jesus came to fulfill everything that the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, spoke about all throughout the history of the Jews. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the long-awaited Messiah, that story that had been told to the people of God of old. He's the one that they've been waiting for. He's the Savior. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. And every single story from Genesis 1:1 all the way through Malachi 4:6 whispers the name of Jesus. I can't recommend a book higher than this little book because it just helps you begin to see what he did and what he came from heaven to earth to be about. Any artists in the room, I'd love, and particularly if you're a kid, any kids in the room, I'd love to see a picture of your favorite book that your parents or your grandparents or somebody who took care of you when you were little. Did you have a favorite book? I'd love to see if you can remember the cover or the main character in it. Draw me or sketch me a picture of your favorite book that somebody read to you as a little kid. I can tell you what comes to my mind beyond the Jesus storybook Bible. It was The Very Hungry Caterpillar. Anybody ever read that one? Yeah, we had a very hungry little kid caterpillar, and you can see on the spine where he just got a hold of it and teethed it together, just to pieces one day. So draw me a picture. I always love to learn more about you and see what's going on in your mind. So draw me a picture, and let me see what is one of your favorite books from your childhood that somebody read to you. You can put it on my art board out in the Home Life Center when we're finished this morning. And mom and dad, grandparent, guardian, I encourage you to pick this little book up and read through it, no matter how old your kids may be or what your family dynamic looks like. You know, based on what Jesus said in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, it wasn't just the overall concept of the law and the prophets. The Old Testament was talking about, and Jesus is interested in every single punctuation mark. He's interested in not just a big philosophy. He's interested in every single thing that was written. The recorded Word of God, the law and the prophets, every single thing Jesus held in high regard that was in the Scripture. Look what he says in verse 8. Let's just keep going. He says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." What's Jesus talking about here? What Jesus is talking about here is he's letting us know, man, dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's are a big deal to me. They're a big deal to God. Jesus is saying in verse 18, if it's in the Bible, it matters to God. It matters big time. Every word matters. Every punctuation mark matters. It's not just a concept. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just a worldview. It's not just an ethic. It is the Word of the Lord. It is intentional. It is breathed out by God Himself. It is inspired by God, and it is without error in the original manuscripts. That is what Jesus is saying in verse 18, that this is a huge deal. And what Jesus is saying, in effect, is this: you can't divorce me from the Word. You can't do it. You just can't do it. I mean, that's really what we were celebrating last month at Christmas. Some of you are sitting here wondering, why do you have that nativity scene back out there? Is it just because it's cool looking and it's from Bethlehem? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, that's part of it. But I never put this away. If you come to my office, it's not just because I need something there on that little table. It's because I never want to get over the incarnation. It's always worth celebrating. Even if they're not playing the Christmas songs on the radio until next November. They started in, I think, October now. Maybe next year they'll start in September. See, it's impossible to accept Jesus' authority without accepting Scripture's authority. And vice versa. Why do I say that? Because they stand together. They stand together. That's why the Gospel of John, the writer, writes this in John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That means that the Word of God and the Son of God are one and the same. They stand together. They always have been. They always will be. They are eternal. And as we've said before, things that are eternal are always relevant. They never go out of style because they're eternal. They're always relevant. So this isn't just some old, outdated book. No. It's the Word of God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us that we might know who God is and what God desires from us as His followers, as His disciples that we talked about earlier. It never changes, and it is absolute in authority and truth. In other words, you can't love Jesus and not love His ideas. You can't be a follower of Jesus and not live according to His Word. He came to fulfill it, all of it. And the one who lives according to the Word of God is the one who is a true follower of Jesus. And you cannot please the Lord and live in contradiction to what His Word says. You cannot do it. You just cannot do it. That's what we had such a good time at Superstart with, the preteens that we went. I had a preteen that was there, and we went. And the whole theme that we were enjoying at Superstart was called Power Up. And I learned something about Power Up. I'm not really huge on video games anymore, but man, I was as a kid. I mean, I could dominate it like Space Invaders. Oh man, I was a dominator at Space Invaders. But man, we started talking a little bit about Mario, and I'm into Mario. I like a little bit of Mario, but I mean, like my kid can just kill me at Mario. And I learned about the mushroom, and the mushroom is a power-up, and it makes you have different kind of powers in the game of Mario. And so we're talking about how the Word of God is a power-up, and we got these little things, and there's lanyard, and we said every day that we were there every session, Luke 11:28, where Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it." Powers you up. And we wrote down, from our sessions, hearing and keeping God's Word deep inside gives me the power to know what is wise, the power to fight when temptations arise, and the power to do God's work in my life. And I'm sitting there yesterday writing that down at Superstart just going, yes, yes, yes. And I'm so grateful for Nicole Neiman, who's leading in our kids' ministry. And she's just doing a great job. And the team that's around her and Dan and the volunteers just doing a great job holding up the Word of God. I mean, if you want to live a life that pleases the Lord, live a life that is rooted and established and grounded in the Word of God. That's your power up. It's your power up. Look what Jesus says again in verse 18. He says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." So in the Greek alphabet, the simplest and the smallest little stroke of a pen, it's called an iota. An iota. An iota is like dot in the I, or just a cross on the T. An iota. An iota. I love what biblical scholar D.A. Carson says about all the punctuation. Look what he says. He says this. In this verse, in Matthew 5:18, in this verse, Jesus upholds the authority of the Old Testament scriptures right down to the least stroke of a pen. The entire divine purpose prophesied in Scripture must take place. Not one dot or dash will fail its fulfillment. Man, that's powerful. That is powerful. What's Jesus saying? What's D.A. Carson saying that Jesus said? Jesus is saying, and D.A. Carson is saying that Jesus said everything in the Word of God matters. It all matters. So much that if you leave anything out or add anything to it, such as my Mormon neighbors, who are some of the greatest people, they're adding something too. Jehovah's Witnesses that tend to knock on our door and hand me, they're adding something too. So when they hand something to me, I'm going, what do you do with Galatians 1:6? That talks about a different gospel. They're sharing a different gospel. Good people just sharing a different gospel. Doesn't mean we need to be jerks and slam the door in the face. I'll show you. No. But just know they're sharing a different gospel. A different gospel. And that's a really big deal to God. Look what Jesus says about this in verse 19. He says, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So if you want to know how to be great in God's eyes, in God's economy, be great in teaching and living out the Word of God. Now, some of you are sitting there going, Pastor, I haven't been to seminary. I mean, I don't have the gift of teaching the deep doctrines of God. Okay. But how's your attitude toward the Word of God? How's your life matching up to what you do know? See, we can all have an attitude and live a life that holds God's Word up in high regard and does our very best to live what we do know. Wherever we fall on the teaching spectrum. Every believer may not know how to teach the deep doctrines, but everybody can have the right attitude toward going, I know that's true, and I still am working to get my head around exactly what all of that means. That's why we keep banging the drum around here at Arapahoe Road about growing strong what? Growing strong families. We've said over and over again, faith doesn't start at church. Faith starts where? Faith starts at home. Faith starts at home. Mom and Dad, let me just say it again. It's not the responsibility of the church to make sure you and your kids know the Bible. That's your responsibility. However, we're trying to do everything we can here at Arapahoe Road to help resource you, to help you know how to grow strong in your families and in your faith. It's why we keep encouraging each person to be connected to a life group. If you're new here to Arapahoe Road and you kind of have a little bit of church background, we call our Sunday school, we call them life groups. Because, I mean, who wants to go to school the rest of their life? You know, some are going, I'd like to go to school. Well, I don't want to go to school the rest of my life, but I'm into doing life. And if we can find a group to do life with, and some of you are sitting here going, well, I wouldn't even know where to start. If I were to get connected with a life group, well, take out your Arapaho Road today, and I'll show you a great place to start. There are several life groups that are meeting. Some of you are going, yeah, but they've been around for a while, or they already know everybody. There's actually a new life group that just started this past month, and George and Beth Butler and John and Vicky Parker are leading it. They meet right over here in the Family Life Center. And man, if you need a place to check out, that's a great place to check out. Great place to connect. You go, why would I want to do that? Well, because it's in a life group that not only can you kind of get some a little bit more about what's happening in the Bible, you can begin to share life and share tips about what's working, what's not working in parenting or in this season of life or that season of life. I mean, whatever season of life you're in, if you're an adult, there's a place for you in there. And you can add value to what's working in your life and what's not working and where you need help and how you need prayer. And that's what a life group does. It walks together and it walks through life. And when we must pass on the truths found in the Scripture, in the Bible. And if you're not sure how to pass those things on, that's why we created this space right through these doors. It's called a Home Life Center. And you're like, that's where I get my coffee. I thought you just created it to look pretty and have a coffee machine out there. Well, that's part of it. But what else is out there are just some incredible resources. All those shelves that are stocked out there with good stuff. And you're going, yeah, I thought that was just kind of like part of the decor out there. Every one of those books out there you can purchase, you can check out. There's little things called pointers on the wall out there. And if you're like going, yeah, but I mean, I don't like want everybody to know what I'm taking off the wall. Great. Just take a thing that says pointers and you can just pick the things off the wall that you want and slide them in there. Nobody has to know. I mean, you may be sitting there going, yeah, but like what's out there? Well, there's 30 things out there that we have right now. Here's just some. If you need some help intentional parenting, if you need some help introducing your child to Christ, if you need some help influencing your grandkids, if you need some help and you're a single parent and raising kids alone, man, we've got something for you. If you're going through grief, maybe that's death or divorce or separation or some kind of change, that we've got something in there for you. Maybe there's a sexual identity confusion that's happening with a family member or a close relative. There's stuff in there for you. Maybe it's raising a child with special needs and 30 other things out there. And you go, what's in there? The Word of God and resources that can help you understand how to power up when these issues are coming into your life. And there's kits out there from series gone by, like the Meals at Home kit is out there. Connected 3D and how to put boundaries around technology in your house and how to tell your faith story and the Word 511 and how to get the Word of God in you and the 9 talking about the gifts of the Spirit. All that's out there. All that's out there. It's not there for decor. It's there for you. John Perry, right back here. John and Michelle. Michelle, guess where she is? She's at home with the flu, okay? So make sure if you're going to fist bump John, just kind of do an air fist bump. John will be out there, and he's one of our champions and can help you find what you need. Friends, I love it that you come here week after week, but at the end of the day, you don't need to come and hear what I think. You need to come and hear what God said. That's why at the beginning of all of my messages, I say, open your Bible with me to Matthew 5 or whatever. It's on page whatever. Because at the end of the day, this is what's eternal. This is what's eternal. The Word of God, it's of utmost importance if we're ever going to live the life that God desires and has created us to live. And reading and developing a love for the Scripture, it's such a huge deal when it comes to the long arc of our lives. Allison and I have recommitted ourselves to try and read God's Word with Jack and with Lucy. I shared with you before that we were changing some things up at dinner time. I've just been reading through just a few verses from the Gospel of John, kind of at the end of our meal, and I'm reading it out of the Message. It just says it a little differently, and we'll just have a conversation about some. We were reading something in John 1 the other day, and it talks about Jesus was calling his first disciples, and he called Simon Peter, and he says, I want to name you Cephas, because you're the rock. And we just stopped there, and I just asked the question. I just said, if Jesus were going to give you a nickname, what do you think he'd nickname you? And we're like, well, I don't know. What do you mean? Well, he was calling him something because of an attribute that he was experiencing and displaying. And we said, okay, person on the right, you got to say what you think Jesus would say your nickname was. And so Lucy was sitting on my right, and I said, I think he'd call you fairness or justice. Because ever since you've been a little bitty girl, you've always said, that's not fair to girls. It's all about equality. With Jack, we said, man, I think he'd call you magnet. Because when ever since Jack has just been able to walk and he gets around little kids just, they're just a magnet. He's just so tender and so gentle and so kind. Just a magnet. I said, what do you think he'd call you? We can, Dad, we can call you balding. Awesome. Awesome. You go, why are you trying to harp on this one so much? Well, because I think it's the right thing to do, and we've got the responsibility of parenting our children and of modeling that in our own lives. And, man, it was just so reinforced by an article I read a few months ago. A guy named Eric Geiger, it's just been haunting me for the past several months. The article is entitled, Research Reveals the Five Biggest Influencers on Your Child's Spiritual Health. I mean, what do you think makes the biggest influence on your child? Is it having family dinners at home together? Is it being the parent that never misses the important event? Is it making sure your kids are in the right school, maybe a Christian school? Is it making sure you're at a church that has a healthy and thriving youth ministry or kids ministry? Well, I mean, those are all good things, and those are things that I want for my kids, and yet none of those things showed up in Lifeway's recent research study on how kids grow spiritually. See, we got to be careful that we don't spend a whole lot of time focusing on things that aren't most important. And in this study that Lifeway did, they analyzed and they researched 2,000 Protestant adults who had finished their parenting journey and now had children, at least one child, age 18 to 30. Okay? And they just began to research what is it that has been the biggest influencers in making sure those kids who now are adults are continuing in their faith. And the study looked at faith characteristics of those kids now all grown up and looked at the parenting practices and the habits of the children as they were growing up. A lady named Jana Magruder wrote a book called Nothing Less, Engaging Kids in a Lifetime of Faith. I think there's a couple of copies out here if you want to check them out. But in this book, Jana Magruder takes all that research and unpacks the 10 big influencers. I just want to tell you the top one, the first one, the biggest influencer in your child's spiritual health, number one, the child regularly reads his or her Bible while growing up. Number one influencer. And it's really not that surprising because that's the biggest influencer in adults today too. And quite simply, those kids who regularly are reading the Bible are much more likely to walk with Christ as adults than those who do not. It's more important than a family meal and more important than the school that they go to, more important than the church that they're a part of and the student ministry and the kids ministry. Although all those are good things, none of those things showed up in this research. And Eric Geiger says this, if there's one thing and only one thing that we as parents and ministry leaders should do, it is this. Live Bible reading in front of our kids, show our kids how to read the text, read the Bible with them. The research says, do whatever it takes. And so we're trying to do that without burning them out. Get in there and exegete Leviticus. Go! No, man, we're trying to get them age-appropriate devotionals. They have a little scripture and then some appropriate things for a 12-year-old young man and a 10-year-old young lady. And just changing things up. Asking questions out of the scripture. What do you think Jesus would nickname you? We're just trying to stay curious as we read God's Word. That's what I'm trying to do, and hopefully that just drips down into them as they're reading God's Word. And Jesus wraps this part of His sermon up in verse 20 with something that we've got to get, or we're going to get off on the wrong track fast. And look what He says. He says this in verse 20. He says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds," underline that word exceeds, "unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." Can I tell you, He didn't say that to heap guilt upon you. And I don't tell you stories about what we're doing to heap guilt on you. We're right in the trench with you, friends. And some days we have better conversations than others. And some days we're just too tired. You know, we really move that scripture time to dinner, because by the time it's time to put them down to bed, I'm wiped out. And I find myself failing more than fostering spiritual conversations. But that's become a good time for us. And so we're not saying that your righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. And Jesus wasn't saying that to make you feel guilty. What He was saying, it's something that He was referring to earlier in His message in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, where He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Well, what are the poor in spirit? The people who've already come and just going, "Oh, I don't even know where to start. There's no way I'm ever going to be able to do this on my own. There's no way I can ever be that kind of righteousness to my family, to my kids. I'm in deep weeds. They've already grown. What am I going to do?" Don't quit parenting them. And remember, you're poor in spirit. And Jesus says, wonderful news for you. Once you come to the realization that you can't be good enough, learn enough Awana verses, although those are great to learn, you can't learn enough of them to be as righteous as Jesus. At some point, Jesus has to make you righteous. You know how I come to that conclusion? Because that's what the Word of God says. No one is righteous. No, not one. That's why you get over into 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and he said, "He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." And you said, "Pastor, underline that word exceed." Why do you want me to underline that word exceed? Because that word exceed there in verse 20 means overflow the banks of a river. You know, well, what's he talking about there? See, Jesus says in John chapter 7, verse 37, he stands up at a feast and he says this, "Hey, if anybody's thirsty on the inside, let him come to me and drink, and out of you will come flow, exceed, full over the banks, rivers of living water. Come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." The life that God created you to live and experience and enjoy is a life that's attained only by living according to God's Word and the Word of the Lord. Oh, is intended to cause you to flourish as you love the Lord of the Word.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.